Today on CityCast Denver. We're going to wrap up our summer reading week with a book about gang violence in Denver that caused something of a stir when it was released in May of 2021. It's called The Holly: Five Bullets, One Gun, and the Struggle to Save an American Neighborhood. The story centers on Terrence Roberts, a former gang member turned anti-gang activist. In 2013, he shot someone at a peace rally he'd organized, an incident that would continue to shape his life for years. Our regular host, Bree Davies, sat down last May with Terrence Roberts and with the journalist who wrote The Holly, Julian Rubenstein. This conversation begins with the story of what happened that fateful day 9 years ago. And a note, Terrence's story is full of strong language, depictions of violence, and mature themes. Today is Friday, July 15th. I'm Lizzie Goldsmith, in for Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver.
On September 20th, 2013, Terrence was widely known in Park Hill as an anti-gang activist and community leader. He had been in a gang himself, but after a stint in prison, he had forged a new path. And that day, it led him to The Holly, a former shopping center in Northeast Park Hill that was being redeveloped into a new Boys and Girls Club, and where Terrence's anti-gang organization had offices.
So that particular morning, I was doing my peace rally that day.
But people Terrence used to know, people still in gangs, they didn't like the work he was doing.
They have been, you know, starting to more ramp up the rhetoric that I was a snitch and all these different things and leaving notes at my office and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm gonna just go early to my office to avoid them. Soon as I got there, they were already there.
One of the guys waiting for Terrence that day at The Holly was Hassan Jones. Hassan was a member of Terrence's old gang, the Bloods. But Hassan had been talking with Terrence a lot lately, and he was thinking about leaving that life behind.
So I asked Hassan, hey, you know, can I speak to you? Can I talk to you? He stood up from the table. He starts telling me, like, I'm a bitch, I'm a snitch. Get the fuck out of his face. Pretty much the Bloods, the homies are taking all of this. And get out of here. Like, this is their space. Now I'm getting upset. This is actually my space, right? So, you know, so I'm pretty much like, okay, well, bullshit. And I take a step towards him. I don't even know if we were going to fight or what was going to happen. And he pretty much lifted up a folding knife out of his pocket and showed me that he had a knife.
One of Terrence's colleagues stepped in and calmed him down. He left The Holly, took a shower, and carried on with his day, setting up for the peace rally.
I head back to the Holly Square, and you know, when I pull in, I get out of my car and I hear a gentleman pretty much give like a whoop whoop or Sue whoop call. This is how the Bloods like call each other, like Sue whoop or whoop whoop. And they're like, oh, he's back over there. I could hear them talking on the other side of the camouflage building. And I could hear them talking like, oh, like the snitch is back, he's over there. I look to my right, and right there near the building, there's a half-eaten rotisserie chicken with a knife in it, with a note on it that says, bitch nigga, snitch nigga. So I'm hearing them talking. I walk over, and I'm just looking at them like, this is kind of weird. I was like, this is strange. And I felt like I was in a twilight zone. I kind of didn't know what to think. So I grabbed the knife, I grabbed the note, I throw it on the ground, I put the knife in my pocket, and then all this big group of Bloods just come from around the side of the building, the north side of the building, and then they just started coming from everywhere. So Hassan is like riding in front of us, like 12 feet in front of me. He's riding a bike and he's staring at me laughing. And I'm looking at Hassan, I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you doing this to me? You know? And he's just like, because you're a snitch, you said I'm a snitch, and I'll be over there in a minute on Bloods to fuck you up. So I'm like, on Bloods, you'll be over here in a minute. And he's like, on Bloods, I'll be over here in a minute to fuck you up.
By the way, on Bloods apparently means for real, or that the person is so serious about something. You're also going to hear Terrence use the word bool in a minute, and that means cool.
So I had my gun. I had brought it from my house and put it in the trunk of my car just in case if I needed it, man, because they were calling me a snitch and threatening me, leaving notes in my office, all these things. So I didn't know what could have happened to me, but I didn't think they were going to try to hurt me at this rally, right? And I heard him say to these other Bloods, well, let's get them, pretty much. And they tried to like come around me like they were going to like attack me. And they got pretty, they were starting to get closer and closer. So I just shot at them. They were in front of me. So I shot at them, and I was walking up to him, and I was walking up to him. He was saying like, "Blood, you're stupid," and was saying something else. And I shot him in the chest. I shot him again. I pulled the knife out of my pocket and I hit him with it. I'm able to say this to you now because I couldn't say it during testimony, but at that point I was angry with Hassan. My lawyer's like, "You better not say you were angry, Terrence, on the stand, because, you know, did you shoot him out of self-defense or anger?" I shot my gun out of self-defense, but at that point, and he was still talking, I knew the seriousness of everything. I hit him with it. He begged me for his life. He was like, "Please, Blood, don't kill me. I'm boo." He was still coherent. He was talking. I had a conversation with him. I said, "I'm not going to kill you." He said again, he was like, "I'm boo. T, please don't kill me." And I was just looking just left and right to just see if I had to defend myself, because I seen guys like popping their heads up behind cars, and I didn't know if someone was going to start shooting at me or what. And then the police came from the north side of the building through the crowd, and they were like, drop your weapon. And I just sat my gun down on the ground, and then I just put my hands up and just lowered myself to the ground, and they came and arrested me then.
New at 11 today, this man, Terrence Roberts, once one of Denver's most well-known community activists, is starting trial for attempted murder. He admits to shooting a reputed gang member, ironically, at a peace rally.
An anti-gang activist who was once a gang member himself is on trial for attempted murder. Terrence Roberts' case is getting a lot of attention before the 2013 shooting. He spent 8 years trying to clean up Denver's Park Hill community.
The victim's family is telling 7 News they don't believe that Hassan Jones threatened him.
Terrence is eventually found not guilty in the attempted murder trial. But the story of a former gang member turned anti-gang activist who shot someone at his own peace rally spread like wildfire. And it got all the way to journalist Julian Rubenstein, who wanted to know more. So it's time to sit down with Terrence and Julian and talk about The Holly, this new book that sprang from a tragedy.
Winding through the canyon, her anticipation rose. Monarch Casino Resort Spa, the epitome of mountain chic. Her pulse raced as she sat down at a high-limit baccarat table. Hungry? She chose the Southwest fusion flavors of Bistro Mariposa before ascending to Bliss, a top-rated spa Monarch, for a signature massage treatment. She slept well in her luxurious hotel room, fulfilled by her stay. Write your own story at monarchblackhawk.com.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, thank you guys for being here. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having
me. Great to be here.
Terrence, why did you want to talk to Julian, or why did you trust Julian to write this book about your story?
I wasn't really reaching out to anybody, but the local media, they were literally just dragging me through the mud, and they were making accusations like I shot Hassan out of anger, or like I was like this washed up activist who needed respect, or just all these different things, and none of these narratives were true. And it was like they were just really working with law enforcement to railroad me to prison. So when Julian emailed me, I looked him up. I researched him. After seeing his credentials and after him showing the interest that he wanted to show, I didn't have anything to hide from him. I needed to get my narrative out there the best I could. And now it's led to this.
Julian, in hearing Terrence lay out this experience, and then I know in your book there's a lot of talk about the media and how, and Terrence talked about this a little earlier too, how he wasn't necessarily getting fair coverage of his experiences in the city. I read an interview that you did, Julian, last week, and it sounded like you were anticipating a strong reaction to this book and maybe some controversy. Can you explain that?
I would say that there's no way to even talk about that day without at least talking about the 6 months prior to it, during which the escalation of the tension began. Terrence had begun to feel like his peace movement was being infiltrated by these people, by these active gang members. There was also a large and well-funded undercover operation going on in the neighborhood on the street at that time, and highly funded multi-agency task force run by the ATF, and it was employing informants from the Bloods in the neighborhood. Terrence felt that they were infiltrating his movement and that they were targeting him. Also, in the lead up to this, Terrence had fallen out with all of the powers that be at the Holly, which are significant. We're talking about some of the most powerful and influential entities, organizations, and people in the city, including, of course, Philip Anschutz, the mayor, the Denver Foundation, the Urban Land Conservancy, the Boys and Girls Club. All of these people were people who Terrence had become at odds with because he was unhappy with the way that the redevelopment of his neighborhood was going. Let's remember that these are all organizations and people who have never lived in this neighborhood. Terrence is a third generation resident of this neighborhood and was running a highly successful effort to stop gang violence. And what had happened was in the 6 months leading up to the opening of the Boys and Girls Club, suddenly the block is filled with Bloods. And Hassan Jones became the bellwether in this situation for who's going to win this battle. Terrence had gotten to know Hassan, was trying to work with him to get him out of the gang. And at this time, all of these Bloods come into the block and are also trying to win Hassan over back to the Bloods. And Hassan was sort of in the middle and seemed to be the bellwether in that whoever wins Hassan sort of wins this battle for the future of the Holly. Is it going to be taken over by the Bloods again, who suddenly appeared at this time? Or is it going to be a victory for the peace movement? So all of this is leading up to the day that he just told you about. So that day didn't just happen out of the blue. That day was the culmination of a significant escalation of tensions to the point where Terrence, the third generation resident of the neighborhood, felt like he was an enemy in his own country, so to speak.
Yeah.
So by the time this peace rally happened, he was felt like he was, you know, had a target on his back.
You know, like Julian put in the book, I can't prove this, but I feel like some of those players who were above the Bloods in more professional roles could have possibly have known that the Bloods were going to attack me that day or sometime soon, if not at that particular moment in time. There's a significant chance, is highly probable, that some of those people who are developers and elected officials knew that I was going to be accosted by the Bloods in any fashion. And the Bloods don't just write you summonses or they don't just take you to small claims. If the Bloods are on the case, all they know how to do is violence.
And I'll just add that, you know, by the time of this shooting and this peace rally, many powerful interests, I would say all of the powerful, very powerful interests at the Holly wanted Terrence out. That's clear. And, you know, if you read the book, I think the book is a real contextualization of what actually goes on in terms of development. What we see is how connected, interconnected all of these organizations are to each other and to law enforcement.
And Julie, do you feel like that's some of that controversy you were alluding to, or like concern over this book coming out? Was that all of these players and how things were, you're telling a story that maybe not everybody wants to be told.
I'll just say this. There's been meetings of very great people, including many African-Americans and other influential people in Denver who are not part of the power structure of Denver, who are meeting to figure out how to help me sort of fortify this book not getting squashed by people who don't want it out. The reason it's not a narrative Denver wants is like they've already been involved in covering up this mess. Mm. And now, you know, they're going to have to, I guess, you know, answer to it in some way.
Julian, you spent a long time, many years working on this book. What drove you to keep investigating Terrence's story?
One thing I realized sort of early on, a couple things, I guess. One was that the story that was out there and being told about what happened in this shooting case was not what I was finding in my reporting. And the other thing was that the echoes of the civil rights movement and the development of Denver were so strong that I realized I was going to, in order to answer the question of like, why did Terrence Roberts shoot Hassan Jones at his own peace rally? I was going to have to go back 50 years to try to answer that question.
Let's bring this into current context. And Terrence, I know most recently you've been in the news for facing charges around your role in organizing protests for Elijah McClain. Can you talk about the latest that's going on with you in that case?
So a few weeks ago, Arapahoe County dismissed 7 of the 8 misdemeanors that they charged me with. And Adams County just recently dismissed my felony writing charges and all of my misdemeanor writing charges. So I have all of my charges dismissed in Adams County, and I have 1 misdemeanor still pending in Arapahoe for impeding a highway for a demonstration that we did.
And Julian, do you see any connection between Terrence's current legal predicament and the story that you wrote in this book?
Big time. I mean, you know, the whole epilogue is mostly about that. I've told people, thank God I didn't. Thank God I did miss my book deadline, because had the book come out 2 years ago, it wouldn't have been able to cover the remarkable events of 2020 and 2019, when Terrence began to be involved in the Justice for Elijah McClain movement, where he was a leader of that movement. Then during the post-George Floyd stuff in Denver, he was one of the most powerful and important leaders of the protest movement there. And then guess what? He ends up arrested and facing charges for peaceful protests. I talked before about the echoes of the civil rights movement when activists were targeted by law enforcement. And I didn't start this book with any preconceived notion or any political agenda at all. I came out of it thinking, what is possibly going on here? I mean, it's very, very difficult to understand why Terrence Roberts is being arrested on felony charges for leading peaceful protests. Someone asked me something about if I'm an activist, and the answer is no, I'm a journalist. But like, I'm sorry, I'm also like a citizen of America. And in America, you're allowed to protest.
Right.
And where is the outrage? I mean, I don't understand. No reporting has reported that Terrence was told, and others, that they'd been followed for months before they were arrested for peaceful protests. I've been to these protests, okay? And I also know Terrence very well. I see him all the time, and I can tell you that he's not involved in criminal activity. And anyone who knows him, or certainly who follows him, is gonna know that. And this is what we're spending our public law enforcement money on, to target activists? I'm sorry, but I hope people wake up to this story.
Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you. It's great talking to you.
Yes, and thanks for having us on. I really appreciate it, Bree.
This May, a documentary film based on the book premiered at the Mountain Film Festival in Telluride. You can find out more about it at thehollyfilm.com. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. Our producers this week were me, Lizzie Goldsmith, Paul Caroli, Andrea Salenzi, and Aaron O'Toole. Our music is by Los Mocachetes, with additional mixing by Tyler Lindgren. Bree, Peyton, and Paul will be back next week, and on Monday, we'll be kicking off an exciting new 4-part series about psychedelics and the activists and entrepreneurs trying to figure out how this is all going to fit into life in Colorado. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you don't miss any of those episodes. While you're at it, sign up for our morning newsletter at denver.citycast.fm. Bye!